Would you pray with me? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, move among us this day so that we, your people, may always feel and sense your divine power and presence. For we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to us this day in such a way that we may always hear, understand, and remember. Give us your word by which you mold and shape our living. For we need your word to live eternally. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Who indeed are you, a human being, to argue with God? Well, what is molded say to the one who molds it? Why have you made me like this? Has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same lump one object for special use and another for ordinary use? What if God, desiring to show his wrath and to make known his power, has endured with much patience the object of wrath that are made for destruction? And what if he has done so in order to make known the riches of his glory for the objects of mercy which he has prepared beforehand for glory, including us, whom he has called, not from the Jews only, but also from the Gentiles? Who indeed are you, a human being, to argue with God? I find these words and this question of Paul an interesting one, because I don't know about you, but I find myself arguing with God often. God, why did you make me this way? Why did you make me rotund? Why did you make me prone to adding weight? Why did you so that I have to have glasses to be able to see? Why didn't you make me a Rockefeller with lots of money? Why didn't you? Thank you. Why didn't you give me extraordinary good looks like Cary Grant? Why didn't you give me or make me or mold me in a different way than I am today? Why am I different? I often say to Mom, Mom, why did you make me to look this way? And Mom will look at me like I have three heads. I mean, and she'd be right. And she's right. Mother and Dad had no direct control over how I was made. That was up to God. And you and I, we have no direct control over the fundamental aspects of who and what we are. We are as God. Now we have fallen, thanks to Adam and Eve, and we are sinners because of that sin. And God intends for us to live by grace, to live in faith, and to not be under the power of sin. Yet we still argue with God. Why did you make me this way? And I ask you today, what are you? I didn't have an actual one, so I got something that was similar. Are you a bedpan for Jesus? It's a wash tub. Plastic. Not very fancy, even has a sticker on the side. Rubbermaid dish pan. Are you a dish pan for Jesus? Ordinary, plastic, utilitarian, useful, but not pretty, not special, not honorable, not destined to go on shelves and be admired by people? Or are you a beautiful communion chalice, made to be gazed upon as a work of art in and of itself, made for use in the sacrament of Holy Communion, made to be a part of the symbol of the real presence of Jesus in the life of the church? Which are you? Are you a chalice meant to be placed on the altar of God? Or are you a dishpan? Which are you? Look in your life. Look in your life. Dishpans have purpose, yes. Bedpans have a purpose, yes. And we know what happens with bedpans, don't we? We know what goes into them. And if you're sick in bed and can't get out, guess who's one of your best friends? A bedpan. They're useful. They have a purpose. They have a role to play. But they're not chalices to go on an altar, to share in the symbol and the real presence of Jesus. Dishpans, they're not pretty, but they have a use, and we use them. Spiritually speaking, which are you? Are you a dishpan, a bedpan, some other kind of pan, or are you a chalice? Look in your life. What do you see? You know, Paul, writing here in Romans, is seeing things at this point in black and white. He's seeing things as either or. He's seeing things in absolutes and from God's perspective. He's seeing it as if it's completed. And there are people who are bedpans. There are people who are made to be bedpans. And there are people who are made to be chalices. And those who are chalices are used by God for honorable things and receive God's mercy and God's grace and God's justification and sanctification. And those who are bedpans are also used by God and receive God's grace, and that God doesn't blot them out the instant they are formed. You ever watched a master potter working on some clay? And they work on that clay, and they work on that clay, and if the clay just will not conform to their hands, they'll beat it down into a new lump and start over. Or they may take the clay and throw it aside and begin with a new fresh lump. Well, God has created us either a chalice or a bedpan, and He knows which we are. And we in this life don't, except that we can look in our lives, in our spiritual walks, and we can see times when we are bedpans, when we are dishpans, when we are instruments and vessels for less honorable work. We can see in our lives for we are not living as chalices, but as bedpans. God, looking at it, sees it from the ultimate, total, and complete. He knows who is made a bedpan and who is made a chalice. Which are you? Well, if you're honest, you can look at different parts of your life and you can see, yesterday I was a bedpan. Stuff happened to me all day yesterday. Stuff happens to bedpans. Today, as of 11:20, I'm a chalice. Will you remain a chalice? By God's grace, and there you're right. Only by God's grace. But those who go through life as bedpans and end life as bedpans are still recipients of God's grace, because God let them live. God was patient with them, Paul says. God was patient with them and let them live and let them grow and let them have their life and let them have their relationship and let them be bedpans. And that in comparison, in an observation, we can see, those of us who are chalices can look and see and marvel at the essence of God's and nature of God's grace. being willing to be patient with bedpans. My friends, most of us, if we are very honest, most of us would not be patient with bedpans. Think about your own life. Think about how you treat people who parents, think about how you react to your children. You still love them, but sometimes they act just like bedpans, don't they? You love your kids. You love Noah. Oh, yeah. Sometimes he acts like a bedpan. Guess what? Our parents loved us, but guess what? Sometimes we acted like bedpans, didn't we? Be honest, didn't you? Now, if your parent was not like God, you might have gotten blasted, beaten down, wiped out. But God loves even the bedpans of this life. Now, they have a different use. In the end, those who refuse to come to Jesus have a very specific use. They show forth the patience of God in contending with them throughout their lives. They show forth the glory and majesty of God, His grace in being willing to be patient with them throughout their lives. And the chalices can look and see and be even more amazed at the amazing nature of God's grace, overwhelming to them, empowering to them. Because God's grace was given even to bedpans. And those of us who are chalices recognize that if it weren't for God's grace, we would still be bedpans. But God molded us by His grace to be chalices. Which are you? My prayer for each of you is that you're not a bedpan. You're a chalice. My prayer for each of you is that you are a chalice of God to be used as a glorious, honorable instrument, a vessel for conveying the grace of God to others, a vessel for conveying the real presence of God to others. I pray that you have been formed, have been mastered and reformed and graced by God's own hands to be a chalice for carrying the grace of God to others. But I'm also realistic because I can see in my own life that there are times when I'm a bedpan. And there are times when you are bedpans too. In those moments when you discover that you are being a bedpan, turn to God's grace. Cry out to God's grace, to Almighty God, that He would remold you and remake you into that beautiful chalice that He wants every saint to be. Notice what it says here at the end of the reading here in Romans chapter 9. Paul writes, "What then are we to say? Gentiles who did not strive for righteousness have attained it, that is, righteousness through faith. But Israel, who did strive for the righteousness that is based on the law, did not succeed in fulfilling that law. Why not? Because they did not strive for it on the basis of faith, but as if it were based on works." Gentiles. The Jews considered Gentiles to be bedpans, to be used by God as bedpans are used. Worthless. That's the essence of the meaning of the actual word here in Greek that is being used here by Paul when he writes about the vessels that are used for dishonor. "Has not the potter no right over the clay to make the same lump one object for special use and another for ordinary use?" One translation reads, the word here means valueless or worthless use. The Jews considered the Gentiles to be bedpans, spiritual bedpans,
certainly unworthy, valueless vessels. The Jews, they were chalices. They were attempting to attain the righteousness of God by obeying the law. How else are you supposed to attain the righteousness of God but by obeying the law? The Jews were attempting to attain the righteousness of God by obeying the law. The Gentiles have no mind about obeying the law, and so it became a scandal. When the Jews saw these Gentile Christians, these Gentile believers in God, these Gentiles believers in Jesus as the Messiah and Yahweh, these Gentile believers attaining righteousness, receiving the righteousness of God, not through doing good works, not through living the righteousness that Moses called them to live, not by living as good Jews, but no, by living in faith. And these Jews were scandalized by this. Here are these bedpans attaining righteousness by faith. We have struggled for centuries to attain righteousness, and we failed. Gentiles don't struggle to attain it, but instead exercise faith, and for faith God gives them righteousness. It's not fair. It's not fair. And yet, it's exactly what Paul says here in the letter to the Romans in chapter 9. What are we to say? Gentiles who did not strive for righteousness have attained it. That is righteousness through faith. But Israel, who did strive, oh, they strove for it very, very hard. They did good works. They debated the meaning of the law. They attempted to apply it in their lives in the most fair way they could. Israel, who did strive for righteousness that is based on the law, did not succeed in fulfilling that law. Why not? And this is critical. Because they did not strive for it on the basis of faith, but as if it were based on works. Ooh, painful, my friends. Painful because it points out, as Paul has said again and again and again and again in the letter to the Romans, as Paul has repeatedly said, and as I've said here from this pulpit in this series on Romans, salvation, righteousness, the spiritual life, the life that God has us to lead, is a life that is predicated upon grace, living and functioning in our lives by faith. Not by works, not by position, not by birth, by nothing other than God's mercy and grace, which we live and express through faith. We can be, by faith, empowered by God's grace, a chalice, fashioned beautifully, a work of art, a work of God's genius and art, or we can be a bedpan, a dishpan for Jesus. Ugly, trashy. And God will use us. God will use us indeed to show forth the power of His grace and mercy, and that He was patient with us, but we will not attain righteousness. We can live by faith, empowered by grace, as a chalice, or we can be bedpan and refuse to act in faith, refuse to lean upon God's grace, refuse to be the kind of people God calls us to be. Which are you? Are you a bedpan? Or are you a chalice? The Jews considered the Gentiles to be bedpans, unworthy of a position in the family of God. We have learned that worth, our worth, has nothing to do with it. It is entirely God's worth. It is entirely the worth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and His shed blood on the cross for our sins. It is that value which is beyond measure and through which we can attain righteousness. Are you a bedpan, refusing to exercise grace, refusing to live in faith, or are you a chalice, living in faith, resting in God's grace? If you're going to say to me that you're a chalice, then why are so few pews filled today? Where are
our fellow bedpans for Jesus. What's happening to our living faith? Ask yourself this question as I close out. Are you a bedpan? An object for dishonorable use? A vessel carrying what bedpans carry? Or are you a chalice for communion? A vessel carrying the very grace of God to all the world? Ask yourself that question. Be honest with yourself. And if you look and you see that in that very moment you're a bedpan, repent. If you look and see that God is using you as a chalice, give thanks and praise. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And may the people of God say, Amen.